this morning is a very familiar passage from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then we're going to jump over to Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Acts, as you probably know, is the second book that Luke wrote. He wrote the Gospel and then he writes Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, and then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken to heaven will come back in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The great commission that Jesus gives. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at Easter and had some great celebrations over the Easter weekend, remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus. Last week, Donnie shared about some of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to the disciples. And we're going to continue that today in looking at the things that Jesus said after he was resurrected and, of course, his ascension back into heaven to be with the Father. And in a couple of weeks' time, we celebrate Pentecost and we will actually look at the fulfillment of what Jesus said in that part of Acts, of the Holy Spirit coming to baptize them. And we'll talk something in a couple of weeks' time about what that means for us in terms of our empowerment as well to be the witnesses to Jesus. The very most imperative thing about Jesus' final words here about this commission that he gives to his disciples is that they are to go, as Donnie said to the kids, go. And if we're obedient and we go, then there's great reward in that. And sometimes we just have to get up and go. And that's what I want to sort of talk about today. We have probably heard many sermons on the Great Commission. We know it off by heart, many of us, and it's just one of those things that we know, the Great Commission. But the critical thing is not whether we know it, but whether we are actually doing something about it. What does it mean for us in our everyday Christian life and walk? Mark Twain once was, the writer was once asked, he was a Christian guy, he was talking to someone about his faith, and this guy said to him, "Doesn't it bother you that there's so much stuff in the Bible that you can't understand?" And his retort straight back to him was, "No, that does not bother me. What bothers me is the stuff that I know, but I don't do." And I think that's a challenge to us. We know so much stuff that Jesus said, but we're not doing all of it. And it's really important for us to be doing what we're called to do, what Jesus has commanded us. And in fact, the Great Commission actually says to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And are we obeying those things? In fact, the commission itself is something that we should be obeying. We should be going. We should be doing. What does that mean for us as a church, to be a church that goes and makes disciples? You know, making disciples is not an event of somebody praying the sinner's prayer and now being a Christian because they've accepted what Jesus has done for them. That's only a tiny little bit of what it means to make a disciple. A disciple is somebody who is actually a follower of someone. And so we are to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus ourselves. And we are to be makers of disciples, so we ought to be discipling others to become followers of Jesus too. And the fact that you've been following Jesus for 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 60 years does not mean that you've ceased to be a disciple. Because if you become perfectly like the one you're following, then okay, you've arrived. But who of us has arrived to be perfectly like Jesus whom we follow? Certainly not me, that's for sure. And so we're not making people who are disciples of us. We're making people who are disciples of Jesus. We're not pointing them to me. I'm not pointing them to me. I'm pointing them to Jesus who lives in me and has transformed my life. Now, hopefully, there are some changes in my life because I know Jesus and I've been transformed to a certain extent. But I'm still on that journey of becoming a better disciple of Jesus. So whether a person is a long way from God and sort of slightly searching or asking the big questions of life, or whether they've been a Christian for 40 years, there's a discipleship process that we can be involved in with those people, drawing them closer to God, helping to understand more of what Jesus has done for them, appropriating more of that in their life once they've received that and understand that. Discipleship is a lifelong process, and all of us are somewhere on that journey. Sometimes we take one step forward and two steps back, and we retreat a bit, and we need to come back to the place we should be. All those things are important parts about discipleship. And so when we think about as a church, how are we discipling people to become followers of Jesus? Some of it is happening right at this moment because we're listening to something that's challenging us and encouraging us to be more obedient to the things that we know of God that he's calling us to. But that's only a little bit of it too, because we might spend 1 hour, 2 hours here on a Sunday, but then we've got all the rest of our life living outside in all the different things that we do. And so being a disciple and a follower of Jesus is thinking how that impacts all of our life, our relationships, our friendships, our business dealings and all those sorts of things. Everything we do should reflect that we are a follower of Jesus if we're a follower of Jesus. Everything we do in terms of relating to other people should be done in such a way that we're trying to model and disciple them towards knowing what it is to know Jesus and how that could transform their life too. And so this challenge about going, it is about not so much coming in here for a couple of hours a week to get your batteries charged. It's about going and being obedient to Jesus in all of those things that we do. And the reward is that we're going to be fulfilling the Great Commission. We're going to be helping be the arms, the feet, the mouthpiece of Jesus as we show the love of Jesus and articulate what he has done to those people around about us. So how is that impacting your daily life and walk? There's so many different ways that could be. It's not something that says you must go and do it this way, because this is the way to do it. Some people will tell you that, but it's really about discerning and discovering who you are in God, who he's made you to be, and what opportunity he places in front of you, and being obedient to do what he gives you to do. Some of that's going to be a faith challenge and a step out beyond the comfort zone of what you've got. Sometimes he calls you out of the things that are normal for you to be able to do, because he wants to show that it's not you, it's him at work. Other times, it is just doing the stuff that you know is right and being obedient to God. And he will use that to demonstrate that. I really love the work of the Gideons. Here are men who are willing to go out at their own cost, purchase Bibles themselves in most cases, and to distribute them to people who don't have them. The amazing power of God's word to transform people's life is indisputable. They can tell you 1,000 stories, and as many of you could tell stories, of how Just reading the Bible has impacted your life and transformed it, has brought you to know Jesus. So many people come to faith merely by reading the Word of God without anyone else telling them anything. God speaks by His Spirit through His Word. I can think of one example that I've been involved in that demonstrated the power of that. Back in when I was church planting in Victoria, we had just a small church at that time in 1987. We were thinking about the bicentenary, and there was a challenge to the churches to do some significant event that might extend the kingdom during 1988, which was the bicentenary year. And I was praying about this, and I had read this story about how Bibles had been taken into an area of China, and how missionaries had gone into an area of China and found that the people were amazingly responsive to the gospel, where all the other areas they were not. And they found out that many, many years before, some missionaries had gone in and distributed Bibles. And people had been reading these Bibles, and when the missionaries came, they were ready and prepared and just wanted to know what it meant. And many, many people became Christians. It's a long time ago, I can't remember all the detail, but what impacted me was that the Word of God had prepared the way, so when people came in that could articulate and explain it to these people, they were ready to receive. And even some of them had already committed their life but didn't know how to live that. And it just challenged me to think, well, maybe in our community today, well, back in 1987, we could maybe give Bibles into our community that would then prepare the way, soften the ground in a sense, prepare the soil for the work that the churches were going to do over the next number of years. And we had a committee of people between the different churches. There were four different churches in our community, and we were part of that committee where we would talk and pray about things we could do together. So I took this idea to our combined churches committee and said, what if we gave a Bible to every household in our town as our bicentennial gift to our community? And everybody liked that idea, so we did that. We purchased enough Bibles to hand one to every household in the community, simple, easy-to-read version, and we organised for people from our churches to go out in twos, no two was to be two people from the one church. So we went out with someone from another church. The only thing we had was inside a little leaflet that said what our churches were and that it was a gift from us and what our worship times were. And we knocked on every door, and we didn't leave Bibles in letterboxes or anything like that. If no one responded, we would go back. A lot on my holiday home, so we discovered there was no one there, but that's okay. A number of people wanted to talk, but mostly people just graciously received the Bible and were happy that we were giving them a free gift. A bit puzzled, wondering what was going to happen, wondering whether someone was going to come back, but no, we said it's just a gift, no strings attached. Over the next couple of years, we saw more people come to faith than we'd had for the time up until then. God was moving. He was changing people's lives. How much the influence of those Bibles was is impossible to measure. But I believe it did have an impact, and I believe it's probably still having an impact in people's lives. There's a Bible on the shelf, probably, of every home in the community now. Some said, oh, I've got a Bible, and I dragged out, you know, Grandma's old big black King James version that they'd never opened and things like that. No, that's great, you know, that's it. But take this because it's easy to read. Giving away Bibles sometimes can have an amazing impact, and it's something simple. It's a gift. I tell a little story about Heather. She won't mind me telling this. She was running a playgroup in the early days of us moving into this community and building relationships with some of the young women who had babies and little kids. And she invited some ladies to come to her place for coffee and just to have a look at some of the things the Bible says. And one of the ladies didn't have a Bible, so Heath gave her own Bible with all her underlining and notes and everything in it. She didn't want to take it because it was special, but Heath insisted and gave it to her. She read that Bible because it was a special thing that had been given to her, and over time came to faith and to know Jesus. And she treasured that gift that she felt was so significant to be given. We don't know sometimes the impact of simple little things we do that can bring people to faith. But one thing I do know is the power of God's Word. So ways in which we can put the Bible in people's hands, make them aware of it, invite them to come and read it with you and look at what it says. Things like that can be really powerful. But then again, that might not be for everybody. The important thing is to think about, in your life, in your circumstances, how is the Great Commission to make disciples, to see people baptised, to teach them to obey all of the things that God commands, being worked out in your daily life? Who are the people that you are endeavouring to communicate and to make that known to? For a lot of us as parents, it's probably our kids is one of the primary things that we do, or friends or relatives. But be open to God providing opportunities for you, maybe in ways that you don't expect. You know, we're doing some really good things connecting into our community in all sorts of ways. We've got mainly music. We've got the coffee in Caloundra. Simple little thing. People just coming together to have coffee and spending a couple of hours sharing. Opportunities to invite people to come into that, to discussion and engage with us. Surf club. Donnie's involvement with the surf club. All sorts of connections that we have in this community. We've just, over these last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, had a leadership team retreat. And the theme of our retreat was, where to from here? Where is God taking Kiwanis life? And we started by looking at all the great things that God has done in us and through us already, and then saying, well, Lord, what's the next step? Where are we going now to sort of continue the work of bringing your kingdom into this place? And we came up with a number of things. But the interesting thing was, it was not so much around the good stuff we do here in the greenhouse. It was more about, how does God want us to increase the opportunities that we have for the people who are not coming to Sunday mornings? And we're talking about things like, can we build a connection of people in the surf club who will actually talk about life issues and form some sort of faith community in the long term there? Just building relationships, connecting, talking big story issues. And we're going to look and exploring how perhaps a few more people can join in with Donnie in just hanging out there, getting to know the people, being a presence, and see where that God takes that. What about mainly music? How can we actually take that a little further in terms of connecting, not just with mostly mums and kids who come here for an hour or two on Monday morning, but add value to that? We've got P&O, Parents Night Out. A great opportunity to serve them again. But are there ways that we could build on that and do things that connect in them perhaps as a family to things that are interesting to them, of interest to them, and build on that? And we've got a few ideas of things there. But every one of us is connected into the community in a whole variety of ways. And we want to be thinking about those things. So in a sense, we're saying to grow from here, to extend the kingdom from here, it's not so much, although we're certainly not ruling this out, adding another service at another time. Maybe it's about starting multiple things in multiple places that grow into faith communities that actually are reaching people who would probably not come in here on a Sunday morning and find this to be the sort of environment where they want to explore faith, grow and learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so we're praying and believing and hopeful that little things are going to be springing up and happening around, and we'll have many arms into the community. We'll see lots of little groups of things, all part of us, but not necessarily all coming in here on a Sunday morning or at another time. And so we're looking and exploring things like that, as how God wants us to reach the people who are not being reached in our community. And we're believing and praying that many of you are going to be passionate about wanting to be part of some of those things too, and the opportunities of doing that. I want to actually stop right now and do something that relates to mainly music. It's probably the best thing we do to connect with many, many families in our community, and it's been extending over many years. And the influence of that, I think, is extremely significant, and we'll have a kingdom benefit that we won't see a lot of, but nevertheless, we have been part of. And I want to ask, it starts again tomorrow, so I want to ask all those people who are currently involved in the team of Mainly Music, and I think there's about 10 or 11 people, if you would stand where you are, please, because we're going to pray for you. So if you're near one of these people, and let me say, Some of them lead at the front. Some of them just play with the kids. Some of them are on the door just welcoming people when they come in, collecting the money. Some of them organise the little library we have. Some of them organise the audio-visual stuff that happens. And some of them sit quietly out the back and pray while it's happening. But they're all essential for this to be a success. Some of them in the kitchen, doing a great job there. And I think you want to honour and value these people who are serving our broader community of connection in this way through mainly music. And I believe God's going to keep doing great stuff and do even greater than we've seen before. So could you just maybe stand up, go and lay hands on one of these people and just pray for them. We're going to stop for a couple of minutes while I'm not going to lead the prayer. You pray for the people who are there in near you. Don't let anyone stand there without a few people praying for them. Come on. Because this is a great way that we are going into the community. I'm actually part of that group too, so if someone wants to come and pray for me, I'll turn off the microphone and you can come. I'm not sure. Yep, I've got the button on. I've pressed it a few times. I wasn't sure whether I was on or off. Thanks, guys. Thank you for praying. And please continue to pray for mainly music and for the mums and dads that have come and for the kids too. This Easter, we handed out books to the parents that were on five love languages for kids. Christian perspective in that book, helping parents be better parents to love their kids in appropriate ways and understand them. We're trying to do things that enhance the life of these families. We gave the kids a little book that was a very, very explicit story of the gospel in through the Easter story. And so just one thing we could pray is that that gospel story of Easter that was handed to the kids will be read and reread, and that'll sink into those little kids' lives, and they will remember that for all of their life. And at some point in their life in the future, they'll want to respond to that in a personal way. We do have quite a number of mums who come too from other churches, and so, you know, we're not wanting to steal them and get them to be part of us. We're just thrilled that they can be part of it. And that, I sometimes hear them talking about their church to some of the other mums, and that's great. We're seeing witness happening in a variety of ways. But I'm stirring you to think, how is the reality of that Great Commission at work in your life? How are you thinking regularly about how am I involved in making disciples? What opportunities do I have that I'm taking? What opportunities are there that I'm perhaps not taking that I should be taking? Is God challenging you to be thinking more intentionally about where are the opportunities to do that? Some of the older people could be discipling younger people, just through encouragement, hearing their stories, sharing your stories of how you're a bit further down the track. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Don't get too panicked about that. You know, we go through this stuff and there's a great value in that sort of thing happening. And I do love that I see older and younger people conversing here and not just completely separate. But there could be more of that. And not just older and younger in age, but older and younger in faith, as some have been on the journey a lot longer than others. There's ways that we could be really encouraging one another in that and challenging one another about how we're living out our life and how we are being a witness for Jesus. Our main theme for this first half year has been our story, God's story, how we can tell our story of God's touching our life to others and how that will then help them to understand God's story and hopefully take that story to be their own and get to know him too. And we'll be picking up more on that again next week. The important thing now, the second part of this is that not only did Jesus give this commission, but he ascended and went back to the Father. And in doing that, he made a promise that there was going to be the Holy Spirit that would come. We did mention a couple of weeks ago when we looked at John 20, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At that point. And I think there is a sense in which as soon as we come to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes an amazing way into our life. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth of that. Holy Spirit who comes into our life. But then there is that sense in which sometimes God just releases more of his Spirit in a significant way in our life. And we'll look at some of that when we get to Pentecost in a couple of weeks. But the important thing is to remember that when Jesus gives this commission to be his witness, he says that the Holy Spirit is going to give us the power to do that. So we're not just doing it on our own. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're not depending on our own memory and intellect to be able to recall what we need and all that sort of stuff. That there's a spiritual dynamic to this. The power of God's Spirit at work within us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and at work within us to assist us to do the work to which he has called us to do. And when Jesus said to the disciples in John, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, he said, what did he say? You will? Oh no, he said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So in other words, we corporately and with all other Christians are continuing the work of Jesus, just as the Father sent him into the world to make the kingdom of God known so that we could come into a relationship with God. That is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us to continue the work of Jesus. The power of God's Spirit. How do we really experience and understand that? So much of it's mysterious. We just don't really know. But unless we step out in faith, we're never going to really experience much of the power of God's Spirit within our life. If we can only do the things that we can naturally do in our own strength, then that will be very limiting. But if we put ourselves out there and say, Lord, I'm open to be used by you, and if you ask me to do something that I'm not too sure whether I can, that's me, I'm willing to have a go. I'm willing to try and do that and trust that your Holy Spirit will bring the right words, give me the courage, whatever it takes, to be able to be the person who's going to be involved in making your kingdom known, showing the love of Jesus, explaining what God has done, whatever it is that is there. Ken said, you just have to do it. And sometimes that's really true. Sometimes we're in that situation and we think, oh, no, it's not me. I can't do that, Lord. Maybe someone else can do that. Maybe sometimes you just got to open your mouth and start talking and trust that God will, by his Spirit, give you the words. And the Bible says, when you're called to give account for yourself, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the things that you need to know. So are we really trusting, believing that when it comes to actually going and being witnesses, making disciples, that we're doing it in God's strength and power, or are we thinking that we're very limited because I'm a shy person, I can't do this and I can't do that, and no, that's too scary. We're listening to the wrong voice sometimes. Instead of listening to the Spirit that's whispering, saying, you can do it, I'm with you. You've got the power, God's power. Go, do it. I think we've got to start hearing that voice, trusting that voice, the voice of God's Spirit at work within us. And then recognizing that we're not all going to be great evangelists or great preachers or amazingly merciful carers, but we've all got things that God is calling us to do. Be you. Do what opportunities God has given you. But go, do something. Trust that God will give you some insight into what that is and act on that. I'm going to take just a couple more minutes of quiet reflection. I want you to be thinking, how is that Great Commission working out in my life? Am I really trusting God's Holy Spirit to be at work within me when opportunities come? And maybe you could just utter up a silent prayer. God, help me to take those opportunities and to trust in the power of your Spirit to work in and through me and do amazing things for your kingdom. Let's just take a couple of quiet moments and think on that, pray on that, and offer your own prayer to God. Well, Lord, it's so easy to quote that Great Commission and say, yeah, we're all for it. Not so easy to live it. Help us, Lord, to be open to the voice of your Spirit, to sense the things that you're calling us to do, both corporately as a church and individually as your brothers and sisters, Jesus. Thank you that you have not left us alone, but you've poured out your Spirit on all of us. May we learn to walk in the power of your Spirit, to be bold for you, to take risks and have courage that you will go with us. Help us to know what is right for us and not try and do what is right for someone else. But help us to go. Help us to know that we've gone and we're reaping a great reward because we're faithful and serving you in the way you've called us to do it.